is Dr. Jane Steinberg. Dr. Steinberg has served as the Director of Legislative Affairs at the Los Angeles County of Sexually Transmitted Disease Program since 2000. She earned her PhD from the UCLA School of Public Health in 2004 and a Master's of Public Health from UCLA in 1990. During her predoctoral training, she received a fellowship from NIDA to study gender differences in drug use patterns and sexual risk behaviors among California arrestees. She has also authored and co-authored several publications. Today, her presentation will be on methamphetamine use and high-risk sexual behaviors among incarcerated female adolescents with a diagnosed STD.
Good afternoon. Do I press this? Yeah, okay. So my title is a mouthful, but I will be looking at meth use and high-risk sexual behaviors among incarcerated teens, female teens, with a diagnosed STD. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit, two key areas. I wanted to examine some of the risk factors associated with methamphetamine use, and I'm going to refer to it as meth from now on, among incarcerated female adolescents with an STD, and two, to identify some strategies for reducing both sex and drug-related risk behaviors. Oftentimes, I notice, you know, we work for the STD program, and I've worked with drug treatment agencies. We often compartmentalize addictions and infections and so forth. And so my goal is really to merge what is really a no-brainer: drug use behaviors and sexual risk behaviors often coexist. But to put this together in sort of a public health context. So to provide a little bit of a background, we know that meth use is associated with high-risk sexual behaviors. However, most studies have focused on MSM, men who have sex with men, heterosexual men, and women. Among men who have sex with men, we know that meth use is associated with unprotected anal sex and increased likelihood of having syphilis and HIV. This is particularly true in California and the West Coast, where we've seen this. However, and we do know that among heterosexual men and women, meth use is associated with a greater number of partners and unprotected sex. However, little is known about meth use and its risk factors among adolescents, particularly incarcerated female teens. And this research gap, we feel, is really a cause for concern. One, because of the documented linkages between drug use, high-risk sexual behavior, and delinquency across different populations of adolescents. And two, we know that untreated drug problems result in a cycle of relapse and recidivism, which has really high costs to society, both in terms of untreated, unmet drug treatment needs and high incarceration costs. To provide a very brief overview of some of the studies, we looked at meth use among adolescents. Interestingly, national surveys are showing a nice downward trend of lifetime meth use from about 5% to about 2.5% between 1999 and 2005. However, interestingly, particularly on the West Coast as well, state and local drug treatment data are showing increased admissions for methamphetamine use among teens, with greater numbers of females reporting for treatment than males. And looking at the juvenile arrestee population, there's not been a lot of work, but what has been done through studies conducted by the National Institute of Justice, they have found high rates of meth use among juvenile arrestees in the western United States. These were studies that were conducted in the late 1990s, early 2000, with ranges of 18% of meth use among juvenile arrestees in Portland, Oregon, up to 47% in San Diego. Not all juvenile justice agencies were sampled, a handful were, and primarily they found that meth use has been concentrated among teens, primarily in the western U.S. However, there is a growing trend of meth use among adolescent females relative to their male counterparts, with more adverse effects reported. This was a three-year study at Columbia looking at females between age 8 and 22 that found that girls and young women reported more meth use, became dependent faster than males, and suffered adverse effects such as mental health disorders, suicidal ideation, weight control problems, more than males. And a recent study in my colleagues in the Bay Area at Stanford found meth use among about a quarter of all females, about 939 females who were screened for chlamydia in juvenile detention settings. Using data from a large sample of adolescents between ages 12 to 24 in drug treatment in Los Angeles County, this graph shows trends in meth use since 2000 have steadily increased over the years. And we don't have data from 05 to current, but anecdotal reports from drug treatment providers show that this trend is continuing as well. So what do we know about incarcerated female teens? Well, about 15,000 females are housed in the juvenile justice system on any given day. They report high rates of substance use and unmet drug treatment needs. They report high rates of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and STD reinfection. They often have reproductive health problems, unintended pregnancies, significant STD risk behaviors, and low rates of condom use, early sexual debut, and histories of prior sexual and physical abuse, high rates of mental health disorders, and we also know that reproductive health services are not universally provided in juvenile detention settings. So what I'm interested in, what I will be talking about with you, is what's happening in Los Angeles County juvenile halls, where we work. LA County operates the largest juvenile justice system in the United States. Each year, about 22,000 males and females between ages 8 to 21 are detained in juvenile hall in LA. And the average, about 19 to 21% are females, so clearly more males are in detention settings than females, and this is true for adult corrections as well. In LA, and I'll talk a little more about the three locations where youth are brought to. It's called Barry Nydorf Central and Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall. The average stay in juvenile hall is a little under a month until their case is adjudicated, and all detainees receive medical screening at intake, including screening for chlamydia and gonorrhea through the health department, the STD program, where I work. So these are the three juvenile halls. Central is in downtown Los Angeles. Barry Nydorf is in the North San Fernando Valley in Sylmar. And Los Padrinos is in the southeast Los Angeles area. This is a typical cell in Barry Nydorf Juvenile Hall. Small, one toilet, one bed, loud. So to provide some context for what's going on with disease in this population, as you can see, we have a high burden of chlamydia and gonorrhea in the LA County juvenile halls. Prevalence of chlamydia is about 14%, gonorrhea is about 5%, and both chlamydia and gonorrhea about 3%. And just for comparison, these rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea are about 2.5 and 3.5 times higher than the rates we would see among teens screened in family planning clinics. So the project that I'm going to be talking about is Project YES. This is a public health program located in the LA County Juvenile Halls that, as I referred to before, provides STD treatment and case management to all incarcerated female teens who are diagnosed with chlamydia or gonorrhea while in custody. All detainees with a positive diagnosis of STD complete a comprehensive STD risk assessment administered by our program staff for case management and follow-up purposes. They ask questions about demographics, arrest charge, sexual risk behaviors, any prior STDs, drug use as well. So what I looked at was a subset of the chlamydia and gonorrhea cases among detainees who completed this risk assessment between January of 06 and June of 07 for about 540 interviews. And this represented about 57% of the total number of cases that were diagnosed in juvenile hall during that time. So what did we find? Briefly, these are just frequencies here. The mean age of the sample was about 15.8. And if you look at the ethnic breakdown, a little less than half of the sample were African-American, about 37% Hispanic, 7% white, 7.4 other. In terms of arrest charge, a little over half were arrested for a warrant or a violation, followed by property charge, violence charge. Prostitution was about 9%, and drug charge was 7%. However, it should be noted that that arrest categories are quite crude. That is to say, there was a number of drug-related arrests that are not represented here. We also looked at weekly drug use. This was anyone who reported using drugs in the last week. Half the sample, 50%, reported use of any drug in the prior week since their arrest. About 37% reported marijuana use weekly. Alcohol use was reported by about a fifth of the sample. 16% reported meth use, regular meth use. on a weekly basis, and 5% other, and about a fifth, 20% reported poly drug use, using one or more drugs on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. So I wanted to look at some of the risk behaviors as well. And as you can see, high-risk sexual behaviors really characterize this group. The average age of first sex was 14, and the range was from 9 to 17. When we ask, when the case managers ask about number of lifetime sex partners, the average was 9, the range was from 1 to 300. The higher end represents those who are engaged in prostitution. Similarly, the average number of sex partners over the last half a year was about 2.5, with a range of 0 partners to 52. Keep in mind, this whole group has a diagnosis of an STD. About 72% reported or were positive for chlamydia, followed by gonorrhea, and combined chlamydia and gonorrhea was about 17%. When asked how many used condoms at their last sex, 37% reported they had. So we looked a little further at some other risk behaviors, and we noticed that we found that 58% reported regular condom use, about a fourth had reported a prior pregnancy. Similarly, about a fourth reported a prior or had a diagnosed STD. 20% reported ever being sexually assaulted. We think that this is probably an underestimation because our case managers are mandated reporters and they tell the client as such, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions about sexual abuse. If you say yes, you have been, I need to report it if you haven't. So probably we were just getting those cases of people who had already reported a sexual assault. Still, that's high, even if it's an underestimate. 17% reported ever having traded sex. 11% of the teens currently had children, and about 7% were currently pregnant. So what I wanted to look at to see what the association was between sexual behaviors and meth use, and looking at meth users versus non-meth users. And so as you can see, compared to those who reported no meth use, meth users were more likely to be slightly older, to be Hispanic, to be charged with a drug offense, and to report alcohol or recent marijuana use. Meth users were less likely to be African American, to have received a prostitution charge, to have ever used condoms at their last sexual encounter, to have ever traded sex, and to have ever been pregnant. Then I was curious to see were there differences in marijuana use and sexual risk behavior. Arrestees who reported weekly marijuana use were more likely than non-users to be white, to have received a prostitution charge, to report alcohol and meth use, to have traded sex, and they were less likely to be Hispanic. And what's interesting is if you look at other literatures among especially adult women and other populations, we typically see less meth use among African American populations and more among white and Latinas or Latino. In the multivariate model, looking at predictors of meth users were more likely to have a prior STD and to report regular marijuana use, so poly drug use, and meth users were less likely to have used condoms at their last sexual encounter and to be African American. So in sum, we can see that demographic and the behavioral characteristics differed among arrestees who reported drug use versus no drug use. And in the multivariate models, ethnicity, marijuana use, and risky sexual behavior remain significant predictors of meth use. So in conclusion, clearly recognizing meth use among incarcerated female teens increases the need for public health practitioners to provide interventions that address not only their drug use, but their sexual risky behaviors in the correctional setting. And some suggested strategies that we're trying to implement haven't been so successful, but the goal would be to include screening and referrals to drug treatment and post-release case management, not just for post-release case management for STD treatment, but ensuring clients get to drug treatment as well. I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers from the STD program, Kim Coffey, Ben Goldstein, Kim Harrison, Kirsten Wilson, and my colleagues at UCLA. So thank you very much.
Our third presenter is Dita Bros. Ms. Bros is a PhD candidate in epidemiology at the University of Illinois School of Public Health in Chicago, where she is also a predoctoral fellow in the Prevention Research Training Program funded by NIDA. Obviously, there's a trend here. No, I'm joking. Ms. Burroughs received an MPH in epidemiology from the University of Illinois and a BA in biological sciences from Northwestern University. Ms. Burroughs' research interests focus on examining factors associated with high-risk use and sex behaviors among non-injecting heroin users and the transmission of HIV and other viral infections, including Hep B and C. Today, her talk will be on heroin-associated asthma symptoms among young, non-injecting heroin users in Chicago.
Thank you for the introduction.